listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, audience, and welcome to The Bob Dean Show. Yay. Happy belated 4th of July. Hopefully, with my producer, Sam, I'm going to be streaming this live on Facebook as well. I seem to keep pressing the wrong buttons, as you who know me know that I'm pretty much an idiot. I am in my famous blue button down because I hang it on a hook and wear it every time the show starts. So it looks a little big on me here today in my virtual background, fabulous Santa Monica apartment fake home. It's pretty cool. I want to say this real quick. Happy belated 4th of July to my friends and to everyone and to the United States of America. And I want to thank Ken and Wendy, Dennis and Zenzi and I. Zenzi, the sweet girl downstairs. We had a fabulous time at your 4th of July party. Every year at the Empire West, the most fabulous luxury building in Los Angeles, our friends Ken and Wendy had the most spectacular party on the roof with hundreds of people, and it was, as usual, the social event of the season. We want to say thank you. And as I stick my virtual pen in my ear, my sinuses are killing me today because of the Los Angeles weather, and so it'll be a little hoarse. But we're going to welcome back Mike Sandoval from Pattaya, Thailand. Michael was on discussing his movie, Ain't Nothing But Heaven. And now we're going to talk about, today, we're going to talk about Pattaya. Hi, Michael. Hey. With the green hair.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing fine. How you Thanks a lot for that hair comment about mine.
Hey.
Got a big laugh out of Dennis. Thank you.
Oh, come on. Hey, happy 4th of July. Happy 4th of July to you, buddy.
And happy 4th of July to you, you expat.
Yeah.
You're so photogenic, I can't get over it. You look so much better on camera than you do in real life. Which people
thank you. it's the distance. It's because I'm like not right there.
It's good to see you. And what time is it? Remind us. What time is it where you are?
It's 2:02 a.m.
Oh, you'd be up anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the bars are just closing. So
fabulous. They close it too. Do we have any after hours clubs over there?
Well, no, you know, I just found out last night that evidently the bars close around midnight here. I think they're legally supposed to close around midnight, but a lot of them stay open and they push it.
And, like South Beach.
And some places are, you know, they're open till 2. I'll tell you, when the bars close at midnight, 1 o'clock, that's when everybody's going, all the people that work in the bars, that's when they're all going out and doing stuff. They're going out to eat. They're going out to socialize and hang out. So midnight, 1, 2, 3 o'clock here is a busy time.
Well, you see, Mike, you know, I've been a bartender for 43 years. Two of those I got a real job as my father wanted me to in the late 80s, but I also moonlit across town in Nashville because I couldn't get the bartending out of my blood. The point is that's it. I mean, that's the whole deal is that's when the party starts, is when the bartenders and waitresses and waiters and you know, busboys and everybody gets off. That's when the real fun starts.
Well, you know, in L.A., though, what's there to do at 2 in the morning?
Well, you know, the bars in West Hollywood are now open till 4. You know, well, the boys' bars and all that. But I don't know if they serve alcohol after 2, but they're all open until 4.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say not, but other than a bar, there's no restaurants, there's no diners, there's no
nothing like that, except for Denny's and that sort of thing. And there's not even any of those in our area.
That's it. You don't have a variety. And that was one of the things I really didn't like about, because I used to work for years. I worked the graveyard, not graveyard, I worked the night shift. So I got off about 12:30 every night for 10 years. And I was always looking for something to do, and I got off work, and there was nothing to do.
Well, that's the one thing, exactly, and that's the one thing that I missed, like, years ago when I worked on South Beach. It just never stopped. You know, you didn't get home until 11 a.m. most of the time, and then, you know, you're back to sleep to wake up to start the whole process, the party over again. Which is why my hair's falling out and I look like this at this young age. I'm only 30. Just kidding. So, yeah, how about coming on like maybe once every 4 weeks or so we can do a correspondent episode from Pattaya and you could clue us in on what's going on.
Sure. I'll do that. And we can chit-chat about whatever. But
yeah, we'll call it the expat parlor. Expat parlor. Dennis just poured it. So Dennis is here, my associate over here. So listen, how about we do this? Why don't you tell our, first of all, thanks a lot. How's the movie coming? When our premiere is going to be?
Well, I heard it's almost done, but Kevin wanted to do some re-editing and reshoot some final scenes.
Cool.
And so he's gonna take over the editing and finish it up himself. And he's still working on it. And I haven't
As soon as it's done, ask him if we can get some more clips and all that sort of thing.
Well, so he wants to have a party. He wants to have a watch party with you guys.
Yeah,
with everybody that was on it, and have a watch party with it. So
that'll be awesome. And then we can get some clips together so we can, you know, show it on the show, on the Bob Dean Show. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So why don't you start us off then? First of all, I keep looking at myself. And thank you, Sam, our producer. But I don't smile enough, you know, because I'm a comic like you, and I'm a nice guy like you, and I laugh a lot. But people are always like, what's wrong? And I, now that I'm looking at myself, staring at myself for 45 minutes, I realize I don't smile enough, you know, like.
Well, you know, you're like the Lewis Black.
Yeah, it's like I'm happy. People are like, what's the matter? I'm like, nothing. This is just the way I look, okay?
You're like the angry comic. But you're not angry.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
But you're not angry, though. But sometimes, you know, you kind of, you're kind of got that, you're irritated by stuff, comedy, kind of.
You think?
You think? Exactly.
We're not going to talk about me today. Okay, so why don't you tell us about your first trip to Thailand, how you fell in love with it. You and Dennis and I had lunch that day. We talked for, 4 hours? It was so exciting to hear how excited you were about it. So why don't you start it off with how you ended up going, you know, what was your interest in the first place? Did you go by yourself to visit family, friends, whatever? And then tell us about, you know, the preparation of moving, all the stuff you had to go through, if you don't mind sharing all that detail with us. I'd love to hear it.
Sure. It is pretty interesting. And so my first trip, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but my first trip to Thailand was in 96. I was on my way to India with some friends, and they booked the trip and everything, and we had to stop in Bangkok before going to India. So that was my first exposure to Thailand and Bangkok. We were in Bangkok for like 4 days, and I loved it. I had a great time. I loved it. So I always wanted to come back.
So the song, One Night in Bangkok Makes a Hard Man Humble, that sort of
thing. Yeah, and you know, that song was just a few years old when I went in the early 90s. So then I got a chance to go back to Bangkok in 2000 with my second wife. We went like kind of on a belated honeymoon, and we went to Bangkok because we were travel agents, and I happened to get a deal on almost like a really cheap travel agent ticket to Bangkok. So we went to Bangkok, and again, we just had a great time. And Bangkok is a huge city, right? It's like LA and New York combined. Right? It's like this huge,
really,
people, and it's big, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of stuff to do. It's like New York. It's just a lot of stuff to do. So we had a great time, and I always thought, and I had talked to, I knew people that had lived in Thailand, friends that had lived there.
Right.
And I always was just like, wow, it'd be like a dream to move to Thailand. I was young. It was almost 30 years ago, 20 some years ago. But I always loved it. I always loved Bangkok. And then,
I haven't had one person that I've talked to since we had lunch that time, you and Dennis and I, and I haven't had one person say anything negative about their visit. So continue to Thailand.
So out of sight, out of mind, I didn't even think about Bangkok or Thailand for 20 years. But then my childhood friend I've known since we were like 5 or 6 years old.
Here in Los Angeles, yeah.
We grew up, went to school together, stayed friends, and when my mom passed away, we connected again, and we were talking, and he mentioned that he was traveling to Thailand. He was coming here. Every couple of years, he'd come here. And he said, hey, next time I go, I said, I want to go with you next time you go. I'll go. I love Thailand. I'd love to go back. I can't wait to go back. Well, we never got to go, and he ended up moving here. He retired here. Well, COVID, this was right before COVID, and then COVID, and then Thailand was closed. It was like you couldn't come in, you couldn't leave, you couldn't do anything. It was like, so they just, Dad lifted that restriction a year ago, a little over a year ago. And I contacted my friend and I said, I can travel to Thailand again. I want to come check it out. So I planned a trip, figured it all out. And that was in November. So, you know, I had to get my passport. I had to do everything. And got here. And in the meantime, in that 20 years I had been here, the laws changed, and they just recently legalized cannabis. So,
you mean marijuana?
Yeah. Marijuana is not good. Here it's cannabis. Cannabis says cannabis. That everything's cannabis. They don't say marijuana or sometimes ganja, but it's cannabis. Everything's cannabis. So, in November, when I came in November, they had just opened up again. They had just changed the laws, so they were just starting to get a lot of tourists coming in. And I came in, and I was just like, and I had never been to Pattaya. I'd been to Bangkok, but not Pattaya. And my friend showed me around.
It's Pattaya. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Pattaya. You know, everybody says it a little different. Even the Thais say it a little different. But the Thais say Pattaya.
And now, that is, tell our audience now, remember, that is where you're living.
That's where I'm living.
It's a beach, small beach city.
It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Bangkok.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little. Originally, it was like a little fishing village, and now it's turned into like a little resort, town.
Miami Beach.
Like a little Miami Beach. It's like two beaches separated by like a little peninsula type thing. So there's the Pattaya Beach, and then there's the beach where I am. It's a little couple miles, but between each, you know. But anyway, so I came here. I fell in love with it again. And I started talking to people that were retired here. And they said, oh, it's easy to retire here. You only have to be 55. You only have to have so much money in the bank. And if you don't have the money, they'll put the money in the bank for you. You know, like you can.
Wait, you now can tell me about that.
What's that?
Now go into some detail about that, please. Honestly, this is fascinating. So you have to be 55. And what is it? Because we've been researching here and there. And what is it? You have to have like $9,000 in the bank or something? Or
no, you have to have like 800,000 baht, which is like 28,000.
Okay.
In the bank. But
and what they'll put it in the bank for you?
Yeah, there's like agencies that help you. So you pay them. And they help you get your bank account. They help you do everything, your visa and all of that stuff. Because it's not hard, but it's, you know, take some work. So there's agencies that will help. There's agencies that will help you do that, and they're everywhere. You know, visa, this, immigration, all this stuff. They'll help you do it. So yeah, they'll put the money in the bank when you open your bank account. They'll put the money in the bank account for you. Stamp your book.
Your book. U.S. funds, or they help people with
disabilities,
like loans and things like that.
You transfer your U.S. funds into their bank, and it goes in as their money. So they convert it and everything. I had my money ready to put in the bank, but when I went and open the account, they put the money in. And took it out. And so my thing was already stamped with showing I had the required money. Even though it wasn't there anymore, I had it at one time. And I took that to immigration. And immigration was like, okay, no problem. So I didn't even have to put my money in the bank. My money's in there now, but I didn't. But anyway.
So what if you don't have, just say you only have 10,000 or 15,000, you wouldn't be able to go until you were all saved up to that amount. Or are you saying that they help you with some
you come here and you can do it. You can do it. You can do it, definitely. And when I was here in November, somebody was telling me that. They're like, they were telling me the requirements of what you need, the financial requirements. It's like 28,000 in the bank. And they're like, that you have to deposit in their bank. And the guy was telling me, he goes, you know, don't worry about it. You can pay somebody to do it. They'll take care of it. They'll handle it. And I was like, oh, that's like, I just want to do it all legally. I want to do it the right way. But this is Thailand. This is Thailand. It's not.
So you did it legally the right way.
Well, actually, no. Well, let me tell you, Bob, I went down. I didn't go through an agency. I went to the immigration office with my girlfriend. And I talked to the immigration officer, the head immigration officer for that. They send you to a little door. You tell them what your issue is, and they go, okay, go to door 7. I go in door 7, and the lady's there, and she's like, she looks like Army, right? She looks like an Army person. And she starts telling me, I tell her what I want to do. I want to retire. So she starts telling me all the things I got to do, which sounds like that's a lot of stuff. She's telling me, you got to do this, you got to do that, and then you got to leave the country, and you're going to have to do this, come back, get another stamp, do this, do that. And I'm like, oh, I was like, okay, I'll do that. And then my girlfriend she's telling my girlfriend in Thai and to me in English. So my girlfriend, so I'm like, okay. And then she goes, if you just pay this visa fee to me now, you give me this much money now, I'll take care of everything and you don't have to do nothing. And I said, we got a deal. And so she said, so then she just told me what I needed to do. And I just followed her instructions. And she said, come back on this day and pick up your passport. I went back, picked up my passport on that day. And I'm good until next year. So I'm not saying I'm not saying that's going to happen for everybody.
I understand.
I don't know, but.
But that was your process. Okay.
Now my friend, he told me, he said, go through this agency that he went through. But I think the agency does the same thing. They're just a middleman.
Right. Like a broker.
They're like a broker.
And you cut right through to the
immigration lady is like, no, just give me them. Just pay me what you would pay the agency. Just pay me. Is she going to get the money anyway, I guess? But
lot of different angles, but this is just the one that you chose, and it was immediately successful.
It was totally legal. It was official. It was legal. I talked right to the head lady.
Because that's the main part right there. You wouldn't want to make sure that you don't screw yourself or whatever.
Yeah, I don't want to go. I didn't want to go through an agency and end up, being overcharged and whatever. And who knows what.
So for those of us out there that are listening, if somebody has the idea that they want to do it, you suggest going to immigration first and just cut to the chase, right?
I'm saying if you're 55 and over and you want to come here, whatever, no matter what your financial situation, I mean, I wouldn't come here broke, but
of course not.
But if you're concerned that you don't meet the financial requirements, but you still want to come here, I would still come here and check it out because they want you to come here. Want you to come here and spend your money here. They want that. And so,
Because Dennis and I want to come over and check it out. Cause that's what we're going to start getting into the reasons why you love it and what you're doing.
Well, it's hard to, I ask myself, like, I'm just enjoying myself so much. And
you sure are, because I mean, we follow each other on our personal pages on Facebook, and you're doing something really exciting every day. It looks like
you know what, and I'm trying to do something every day. I'm going to tell you the story about our little trip in a minute, but, well, you know what? I'll tell you about it right now. I'll just go right into it. Right. Because you're going to love this. Right. I mean, I don't like motorcycles. You ride a bike? You ride a motorcycle?
I haven't been on a motorcycle since high school. I don't like them either.
You don't like them either? Yeah, I'm not
used to them. They're unnerving to me. So
that was on the back of one, a friend of mine, a roommate, and he got squirrely and I flew off the back and I wasn't hurt, but it was a pretty scary thing. And I never rode a bike since then. That was like, I was like 22.
Yeah.
For like 40 years, I didn't get on a bike until I got here. And as crazy it is here, when you come here and you see the traffic and how everything is just out of control, it looks out of control. To us, it's out of control because we're from LA. We stay in our lane and we signal and everything. And road rage.
We have a meltdown when somebody doesn't.
Oh my God! We have a meltdown if somebody cuts us off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If somebody needs to get over, and they get over, we freak out, right? We go, what the fuck? You know, look at this guy. Here, everybody's cutting everybody off all the time, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. Everybody's just like, oh, this guy needs to cut me off. Okay. And everybody's just so.
But everybody's on Vespas and stuff, though, right? There's the automobile traffic is heavy as well.
No, there's a lot of motorbikes, which there's the Vespa scooters,
right?
And then there's like a souped up scooter. It's like a scooter, but it looks like a bike, looks like a motorcycle. But it's really a scooter, but it's kind of souped up and it looks like a little motorbike. There's no gears, there's no shifting. It's still a scooter,
right?
But it's just beefy. It's just beefy, and some of them are really kind of big and beefy. But those are scooters. Then they got the motorcycles, and then they got choppers and everything. But because these streets are, there's a lot of little alleys and a lot of little shops, and they're all, you know, they wind around and look around. That a big chopper, you know, or
like
big,
a Harley Davidson.
A Harley Davidson. I mean, they're around. I hear one right now. But and the Harley shop is right there. I can see the Harley sign. So there's a lot of choppers and bikers, right? But it's not practical because you're going down these little alleys and little streets and trying to maneuver a big giant bike on these little. So the little scooters are, and then getting in and out because. The way they drive here is any space that a bike can fit, a bike's gonna go through there. It's like
right. So you always have to, if you're on foot, you need to be aware of somebody on a bike that's gonna be.
You need to be aware of it, and of course, when I'm walking, I want to look to the right because I think traffic's coming, but it's the opposite, and I'm like, Even as a pedestrian, because the cars are coming from the other direction and they're turning the other way. And so you think that they're so many times I've stepped out because I'm looking and they're coming this way. And I'm about to step out because I'm looking this way, but they're coming this way. I'm thinking they're coming. But I've been here 3 months. I'm almost used to that. But we got this. My girlfriend got this little motorbike. And we took it on a trip, and it's one of those little souped up scooter. And
what's so the top speed?
I don't like what's that?
What would the top speed on the souped up scooter kind of be? What do you?
She gets it up to about 80 kilometers. So that's what, like about 45.
Yeah, that's fast enough on one of those.
45, 50, maybe. The max.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going like 400 miles, 400, 500 miles from here.
Wow.
On this little scooter. Yeah. And we each got a backpack. we load up and we take off.
Yeah, man, that's a long way on a little scooter.
We did a shorter trip and we had so much fun on the back of this little scooter, you know. And I, like I was saying, I don't like bikes, but she asked me to get on this bike back in November so she could take me here or there. And I didn't want to seem like I was a pussy or anything. So I was like, I was like, okay, I'll get on the bike. I was so scared. I was scared. And I got on it. I was so scared to get on that bike, but I was like, okay, I'll get on the bike because everybody's doing it. They're babies. Guys, families are on bikes. They got, people got their little dogs on the bike with them, and the dog's just sitting there like, and I mean, everybody, and people are holding, they hold babies. They make a backpack that you put your baby in and you ride your bike. I'm not joking. They have a thing.
Okay, so tell us about your trip.
So,
I get on the back of
this bike, and we take off, and we're going on this trip, and it's like 400 miles. We get to where we're going. We hit rain. We had to pull over for stop because it was raining. We had to, you know, we had to take a break every now and then. It was about a 6-hour trip. It took us like 9 hours, right? Because we'd stop, eat, take a break. Because my ass was hurting. I could only sit on that bike for so long. My ass starts hurting. I was like,
that's what I was wondering about when you said 400 miles. I was like, what?
Yeah, it was like, I go about maybe an hour and 20. And I got to get off, stretch my legs. And you know, so every hour and 20 minutes, I had to take at least a 5-minute break. So
is it nice scenery along the way too?
Oh, it is amazing, Bob. It's amazing. We went through mountains. Little mountain hills, you know, but here it's not like California. Here, weather comes and goes. The weather changes. Like all of a sudden, it can start raining, and then it clears up, and then it's windy, and then it goes. It's like everything's always changing and moving. And we're in LA. It's going to be sunny and hot.
Yeah, it's sunny and 71 every stinking day.
So here it's hot all the time, but you don't know if it's going to start raining or not. So we're up in this place. And so we get our hotel, and we're going to go check out this Angkor Wat type place. It's like a Thai version. It's Angkor Wat, but it's in Thailand, right? It's another Angkor Wat. It's in Thailand.
But wait. So what is an Angkor Wat? I don't know what that is.
It's like an ancient temple. Big, giant, ancient temple.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Sorry.
And
sorry to our...
So Angkor Wat's in Cambodia, and we go there, and it's about an hour from our hotel. It's about 35 miles or so. So we get our hotel the next morning. We get up, we go to this place. We spend the day. We check it out. I'm amazed. I'm like, whoa! I got movies and pictures. We get on the bike to go to this other place and then come back, bike breaks down. And we are in the middle of nowhere. Middle of nowhere, bike breaks down. And we're like in this little village. And I don't know what we're gonna do. It's still kind of registering. It hasn't fully registered on me yet. You know? And my girlfriend's like, well, we gotta find a little mechanic. They got shops everywhere. That's the thing about here, it's like they got little shops. And so it finally registers, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, we're never going to find a shop. Where is there going to be a shop? You know, we're looking on
Google
Maps. There's
no AAA, right?
There's no AAA.
I love AAA.
Not only that, but there's no buses, there's no taxis, there's no anything. So we're stuck there. We find a little shop where the guy fixes bikes and he's open, but he's drinking. And I mean, this is a little village. This little village has got like maybe 5 streets, five little streets and some ancient temple there. We didn't even see the ancient temple because the bike broke down. We took the bike to the mechanic. He goes, I can't fix it. He tries to fix it. He spent like an hour, maybe an hour and a half trying to fix it. He can't fix it. He goes, I can fix it in a couple of days. I need you know, another day. Because it was late in the afternoon. It's like starting to get dark. So I'm like, well, what are we going to do? I'm thinking, people break down out here. There has to be, you know, my girlfriend's like, there's no taxis. There's no bus.
Where's that?
I don't know. I go, well, we're just going to sleep over here. I don't know what we're going to do. So She goes, no, the guy's going to see if he can find someone to drive us back to the hotel. So he finds somebody to drive us back to the hotel. We pay him. They drive us back to the hotel. So we're back at the hotel. And I'm like, well, now we got to go back when the bike gets fixed. We got to go back to get the bike. 35 miles back the other way, back to the bike, which we did. The guy calls later the next afternoon. He calls. His bike's fixed. And we're like, okay. So we get a taxi to go get the bike. And we're like, okay, the bike's running. It's great. We're in business. We're good. We're going back to the hotel. We drive for about 20 minutes, right? It's about an hour away. We drive for about 20 minutes just till we get to like the next little, it's not a village. It's a little city. It's a little city, but it's really small, and it breaks down again. So now I'm like, well, at least we're like in a little city. I go, well, at least we can find a room. There's a hotel, something. So we push it to another little mechanic. Little mechanic there. He goes, I can't fix it because I'm closing. It's about to get dark. He goes, I'm closing up for the day. But if you leave it with me, I'll fix it tomorrow or whatever. So I go, this is a repeat of yesterday. This is the exact repeat of what we did yesterday.
Was it the same thing that caused it to break down before? Did you find out or what?
It the same symptom. It died and wouldn't start.
Well, so, that's all you need.
That's what happened the first time. What do we know, right? What do we? So she goes, well, there's a bus station. She goes, there's a bus station down here. We can walk to the bus station. We take a bus back. We get to the bus station. Bus stopped. Not running anymore because it's not like. It's a little tiny, it's like, it's a nothing place, right? It's like, they got like maybe one bus a day. I don't know what they got. So I'm sitting there now we're at the bus station. And I'll tell you, there were some sketchy people at the bus station, right? So that just taught me that no matter where you are in the world, if you're at the bus station, there's going to be sketchy people there. I don't care where, you can be in a little village in the middle of Thailand. If you're at the bus station, just be careful. That's what my girlfriend kept saying. She's like, be careful. And I'm like, this is like the Greyhound station in L.A. Right. Like, no different. Right? So she goes, let's not hang out at the bus. The bus station is just like a bench. It's not like, a bus station. It's just like a couple benches and a booth. That's all it really is. But it's a bus station. So we end up getting a taxi, a motorbike taxi. That was all we could get was a motorbike taxi back 30 miles back to our. And it's dark. It's nighttime. So we get on this bike.
There's three. Oh, wait. Now, what is a motorbike taxi? Does it have a sidecar or something?
Well, no, it's not a motorbike. This is a motorcycle.
A motorcycle. But is it a sidecar or three of you riding on one bike?
They got big seats. It's a big bike. It's a motorcycle. It's not a little motorbike. It's a motorcycle.
Gotcha. But there's room for three people sitting straddling.
There's room for three people. Absolutely. There's room for four people. Let me tell you. So we get on this bike. I'm in the middle. We get on this bike and we take off. And this guy's like, this is a motorcycle. It's not a scooter now. So now it's like, he's going like twice as fast as we're going on the scooter.
I would have been wetting my pants, man.
I don't have a helmet on. You know, on the scooter, I got a helmet on. So now I'm on a bigger bike. Guy's going driving crazy, bad out of hell. I got no helmet on, and it's dark. And we're like out in the farmland, jungle, whatever. You know, we're like out. And all of a sudden, man, shit starts hitting me like bugs, boop. like shrapnel. Like, so now I'm like trying to crouch behind the guy, like behind the driver, so I'm not getting pelted by bugs. So I look down and there's like a, I don't know what, a grasshopper. I don't know what it was. It like just stuck to me. I don't know. It was gross. He's stuck, and I don't like bugs, and he's stuck on my shoulder. But I'm holding on to the bike for, I got a death grip on this bike.
Hell yeah.
And I'm looking at this bug, and I want to get him off of me, but I can't because I can't let go.
I think I could have done it.
No, by the time we got there, he was gone. He was gone. So we get back there on this motorbike, and I go, okay, so now tomorrow we got to go do the same thing we did today. It's like we're getting nowhere. So I told my girlfriend, I said, look, I'm not getting on that bike. I said, I'm buying a new bike. We're going to the motorbike shop, which they're everywhere, right? We're going to the motorbike shop because they're not expensive. They're not expensive here. I go, we're going to the motorbike shop and we're buying a new bike.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. So we bought the new bike. And this one's more like a scooter, but it's like a beefy one. So we can go all over. So we got transportation. We're gonna go to Laos, we're gonna go to Cambodia, but we're gonna go everywhere. We might even drive it to India. I don't know where we're gonna. But so we got the new bike. And so I go, so I'm telling her, I'm going, what are we gonna do with the old bike? And she's going, We're gonna post it home. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're gonna post it home. Because she doesn't speak like that. She speaks broken English with heavy Thai accent, right? But she's going, We're gonna post it home. I'm like, post it home. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? How are we gonna get it home? We mailed it. We took it. So finally I realized, because they don't say post, they don't say mail, they say post.
Post, right.
So they don't mail something, they post it, right? So they have a post office and mail is post. So she's telling me we're gonna mail the bike. So finally I get it. I go, we're gonna mail the bike. Are you talking about mailing this motorcycle back to Pattaya? 400 miles? We're going to mail a bike 400 miles? She's like, yes. And I'm like, get out of here. What are you talking about? So we took the bike to the post office. It cost like 40 bucks. And they took the bike and we left.
That's amazing.
And so then, you know, we're on the new bike. We're riding around. We're going all over, you know, for like another 2 days, you know, like for another 2 days after, you know, that went to another city. We're checking out more stuff. Come back here. 2 days after we get back, bike shows up. There's the bike.
Well, I mean, does a mailman bring it to the door or what?
They brought it to the, well, I'm in a condo. So there's like a, you know, lobby.
Right.
Yeah.
Garage.
Yeah. They call. They always call ahead of time, you know.
You're in a modern building, though, right? You're in a brand new building, aren't you?
I'm in a totally brand new modern building, built in like 2016.
Something like that. Yeah, because the shit that's pardon my language. The stuff that you hooked us up with, you know, that sends the, you know, real what's going on with buildings and all that. It's amazing. They sent one the other day for this 3-bedroom. Don't ask me what building it was or whatever. I scanned over and it was 60,000 baht, which was like $1,650 a month for this gorgeous 3-bedroom with an ocean view.
How much did you say?
Maybe I got it wrong. Because in calculation, it came out to like $1,650 American, but I don't know okay. what baht.
Yeah, I mean, you can pay that much, but like there's no need. You can find a place.
Well, that's so friggin' dirt cheap for how beautiful this place was.
And I mean, I'm looking at places because I want to compare them to what I got. I'm like looking like oh, look at this place. Why didn't I get that one? You know, and they're like for just I pay 9,000 baht, and what I could get for 12,000 baht, which is just another 100 bucks.
Well, what does 9,000 baht come out to? Like 300 bucks?
No, it's like 270.
Oh, my God. And you're in a 1-bedroom, right?
I have 1-bedroom. My place is pretty small.
But so what? Listen to that, Los Angelinos or anybody in any city around the United States now, because things are so friggin' outrageous.
Well, like my friend that I saw, my friend that retired here, his place is probably like, probably more than double the size of my place. He probably pays 500 bucks a month.
Ugh.
You know, like, and he's got the side. I can see the beach and everything, but I got the side balcony. He's got a front balcony where he's like right looking right out at the you know.
What floor are you on?
I'm on the 19th.
19th floor.
19th floor.
And the building has pool and gym and pool and everything.
And it's pretty empty. A lot of these condos, because when COVID hit, a lot of people left. They went home. And the people are just starting to come back. But like a lot of these places are empty. And I look out at these condos and even my building. At night, you look and you don't see any lights on. You see like one or two, three or four. It's
creepy.
And I'll tell you, you know, I didn't realize this, but I know there's Americans here. Because I know somebody from – I know somebody's going to watch this and go, what are you talking about? There's not a lot of Americans. But there are Americans here because I've met, you know, a few, a handful of them, right? But like my building is mostly Russians. There's Russians everywhere in the building. This is mostly Russian.
It sounds like Miami.
Like when I go downstairs and we're walking in any of the common area places, the pool or any common gym or anything, it's 9 out of 10 guys are Russian guys and girls, mostly Russian. And on the streets and stuff, it's like where I go, I don't hang out in the bars, but I hang out in the cannabis clubs, in the cannabis lounge. Uh-huh. Those are always Russian guys in there. Those are always full of Russian guys. And a lot of the businesses have Russian language on the signs.
Right.
So there's like a lot of Indians, a lot of Russians, a lot of Australians and English people from the UK, a lot of Europeans. And there's, you know, and because there's businesses that are catered to them. There's like areas where there's like Norwegian restaurants and Danish restaurants.
Like Little Armenia and Little Haiti and like they get like that, right?
But they're, yeah, well, yeah, kind of like that. But there's no real like American like American section or like this is where the Americans hang out. That's what I'm saying. Someone's going to say, hey, I go to this bar and it's full of Americans or whatever. I haven't found it yet. But this is what I've noticed, Bob. There's a place where I go and I hang out. It's like a biker hang. It's like a biker place. The guy's really cool. That's where the music, that's where I posted the guys playing music and everything.
Put up a couple days ago with the guys up with the hard rock.
Right.
Yeah.
So these guys are from all over the world. So I call it the United Nations of pot smokers because these guys are from all over, just every country. And I've only met a couple Americans. Usually I'm the only American. Usually it's me and maybe one or two other American guys there. But it's like there's like 40, 50 guys there, retired, expats, whatever. But they're all like a lot of Germans, a lot of Austrians, Germans, a lot of Italians, a lot of.
What's the communication like? Are you learning the language little? You know, are you making an attempt to learn it immediately? Or are you just picking up on it?
I'm just trying to pick up on it.
Communication in your daily.
I don't have any problems. Well, I got a girlfriend, so my communication, she solves all that problems. But she's trying to teach me a little bit, and I'm trying to pick it up a little bit.
Thank you.
But a lot of people speak English here, and a lot of international people, they speak English, and they might not speak, you know, fluent like we do,
right?
Like you and
communication isn't hard.
They can communicate. Like all these people at this club, most of them speak to each other like in Russian or German or
I got it. Thanks.
Whatever they talk, but then they can talk to me in English. They'll like sit there and talk to me in English and turn around and be talking to the other guy in German, and then talk to me in English. It's like. And
like that episode of I Love Lucy where they were she got arrested. Remember that? It's like the most classic of all time where there's a four and the one guy's a drunk. He's speaking Spanish and he's all fucked up. Pardon my language. And they're going down the line. Did you ever see that one?
I don't know. I've seen them all when I was a kid. But
oh, my God. We'll talk about that later.
But when I met like last night, I was at this place last night. And I was sitting there with these two guys. It was a guy from the Philippines and this German guy and they're both my age. We're all 60, 60, 61. And the guy looks at me and he goes, "So where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from the U.S. To the German guy. I go, "I'm from the U.S. I'm from the U.S. And he just looked at me. He just gave me his look. And I get that look a lot. Like, "Oh, one of you crazy Americans. Like you. And I get it all the time when I say I don't like it, because I want to say, "Hey, I'm not a crazy American. I'm a crazy Californian. If you want to hate me because I'm crazy, it's I'm from California crazy, not U.S. crazy."
Right. There's a difference. You said, right? Los Angeles crazy.
Because they look at me like I know they're looking at me like I'm a MAGA Trump, whatever. I'm a redneck, like I'm a cowboy. I don't know what it is, but they just give me this look like, "Oh,
it certainly isn't the green hair."
It's not. Well, I'll tell you, it's not a pleasant response. It's not. It's never. It's always a look like, "Oh, like if I asked somebody where they were from,
you should have told them you were from Canada."
That's what I want to tell people. The Filipino guy goes, "Oh, you're from." He thought this is another thing. Americans think that the world revolves around America, and it don't. This guy from the Philippines, he's an intelligent guy, smart guy, but he didn't understand how the president of the United States is not in charge of Mexico and Canada. You know, and it's not because he's stupid. I'm not saying he's stupid. He just, because they don't teach him all that stuff, right? So he's thinking America, North America, the president of America. And I was trying to explain to him, you know, Mexico and Canada. And he's like, "Yeah, I understand Canada and Mexico. But Biden is still..." I go, "No."
I go, "No."
He's like, "Yeah, yeah, he is.
Gonna drop dead at any moment." Hey, Mike, listen, only because we get so involved, we only have 3 minutes.
Oh, hey, buddy.
So listen, here's the deal. I mean, let's do this again, if not next week, the week after, something, because I just want to continue on with this. I hope our audience is enjoying it as much as I am, because you're so up the best in any way, Michael. And like you said, it's 2 o'clock and 2:30, almost 3 there now. But I really want to just keep going on about this. Maybe we'll see you again next week.
Well, you know, I'll be happy to come back anytime you want. And if you want to have, I don't know if your technology, you can have someone else come on. I'll be happy to come on anytime you want.
I think it would be cool? I think it would be cool if we could get my new friend, Sonia, who I work with at the hotel, whose family she was raised here in the United States, but her family goes back generations in Pattaya. And it would be neat to have the three of us, so you guys could comparatively talk about what you know, or maybe even she could hook us up with a member of her family that lives there.
Hey,
that's a great idea. So I'll ask Sam about that, if we could possibly do that maybe next week or in the following week or something like that. What a great idea, Bob Dean. Thank you.
Hey. And I'm really looking forward to you and Dennis and anybody else you want to bring with you. Come on over and have a great time, man. It's so much fun here.
We're saving our bot.
You're gonna have a great time, and I'll be happy to show you around.
Hey, we look forward to it. We are actually, if Sam, my producer's in there, because listen, thank you, faithful followers of the Bob Dean Show. We will be on. We will be on coming up on Facebook. That's my fault. We'll be streaming on there, but it's important that we time this properly, because Sam, our producer, who is LA Talk Radio, and we thank you. I have 10 to run over, so I'm watching my little clock, and we want to do it. We have 60 seconds, because that way it's just like, Michael, when we're on stage, how important it is when you see the light to get your butt off the stage, because you don't want to go over into the next person.
You want to be courteous and wrap it up on time. So everybody out there, visit itsmikesandoval.com, and you can follow me on Instagram at itsmikesandoval. And this new Threads, because I'm migrating off of Twitter onto Threads, so you can follow me on Threads. And Bob, get on there.
I'll look at Threads, because I never even liked the word tweet, so I don't even do that. So we're done, Mike. I love you. Thank you. Dennis says bye.
Like they say, Dennis. In Pattaya. All right, everybody. Adios.
All right, hey.
Dennis said, like they say in Pattaya, adios.
Yes, the Wadi Cop. All right.
Bye, Michael. Thank you, Sam. Bye. We'll see you next week, everybody. 12 noon live on LA Talk Radio, The Bob Dean Show. Thank you.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.